Good afternoon. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 27 to 48. And as he talked with them, he went out in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. And I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who appointed God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain for some days. I'm now going to pray for Peter before he comes up. Dear Father, please help Peter Tasker speak clearly and faithfully from your word this afternoon. Lord, we pray that you'll help everyone present to be able to concentrate and thoroughly encouraged by the message. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Acts chapters 1 to 9, we're given a clear testimony that the early church had a very clear conviction of who Jesus really is. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, says God has made him, that is Jesus of Nazareth, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Again, Peter and John before the ruling council, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Clear witness and testimony to the person and work of Christ as Lord and Saviour. But there's also a very clear line coming through in the early chapters of Acts that they are to bear witness to this testimony that Jesus is the Christ. Over and over again, they're constantly saying, "We are witnesses of these things." In chapter 5, verse 42, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." very clear, their commitment concerning who Jesus is, and very clear what was laid on them to bear witness and testimony to that fact. And then in chapter 7 and 8, we have Stephen, who is the martyr, killed, and we have the conversion of Paul. And then when we come to the end of chapter 9, we read these words. And so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. It's interesting how the chapter concludes that the church in Judea, Galilee, Samaria. But the church is about to find out that God has other plans and purposes. And that plan and purpose is that that message that's witnessing is not going to stop in Galilee, Judea, and Samaria. And so we come into chapter 10. And the story of Cornelius and Peter fills the whole chapter. In chapter 11, it's told again. In chapter 15, it's told again. This is clearly a key turning point with what God is doing with his people and how God is leading them. It's the story of Cornelius, one story I'm sure we all know well. He lived in Caesarea. He was a Roman centurion. He was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. But he's described as a devout man who feared God, gave alms, and who prayed to God. He has a vision. It's a very simple, straightforward vision. Send people to Joppa. There's someone called Peter. Ask him to come. He needs to come and to speak to you. While this is all happening, Peter himself has a vision. He has the vision in Joppa, but his vision is very different. He sees, as it were, like a great sheet descending down from heaven. And within the sheet, there are all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds. And he's called to rise up, kill and eat. And this is totally anathema to him. No, Lord, by no means. He, all his life, it had been put into his head, you do not eat that which is unclean. And many of these animals were seen as unclean. He'd never eaten, never touched, never had anything to do with it. And this cultural background is just so ingrained into him. But God says, or the person in the vision says to him, what God has made clean, do not call common. And this happened twice. And we read that Peter wondered and was perplexed. What on earth does this mean? But as he's thinking about this, there are men who knock on the door, those who were sent by Cornelius with the vision the Lord had given Cornelius. And they come and they tell him about the vision Cornelius has had and that he should come. They were sent to get him and to bring him along to visit Cornelius. And Peter agrees. You know, as I've had the privilege of visiting the church in different parts of the world, I still find that there are parts of the world where there's almost no Christian witness whatsoever, or parts of the world where Christians really have never really been, that the gospel hasn't penetrated. And there are people who have visions and have come to the Lord through a vision. So I've learned not to put that all totally in the ancient history section, but to hang loose with that. Many of the Muslim faith who have come to faith in Christ, the Lord has led them to himself through a vision, through a vision. But Peter comes and he meets Cornelius. As a Jew, he is extremely uncomfortable going into a non-Jewish home, going into a Gentile home. I think as I've read through here that this could probably be the first time that Peter had actually gone into a Gentile home. And if you can understand what's in your culture that you find very hard to overcome because it's ingrained, then you'd have some idea what Peter is going through here. However, Peter has had this vision the Lord has given. He knows that Cornelius had been given this vision from the Lord. Those had travelled, collected him, taken him back. There's only one conclusion he could have, and that's one of the CMS principles. Follow God's leading. I hope you grab that. You wonder where CMS principles came from, didn't you? Because his conclusion was the Lord must be in it. Right? And that's what follow God's leading is, isn't it? When he put these bits together, I don't know where it's taking me, but I believe the Lord must be in this. And so Peter has the opportunity to share the gospel with Cornelius. He doesn't start with the Old Testament, as he did on the day of Pentecost. He starts where Cornelius is, as a God-fearer, one that had some concept of God, but one knew at the stories about Jesus and knew about Jesus. And that's where he begins to explain who Jesus really is. He says, I now see that God shows no partiality. That's between Jew and Gentile. And that Jesus Christ, he says, who is Lord of all, was sent to Israel to preach the good news of peace. And the life and activity of our Lord Jesus, which you, Cornelius, are aware of. You've heard this. That being after his baptism, after baptism was proclaimed by John, and his baptism was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Peter goes on to say, and we are witnesses of that ministry over those 3 years. But then all of a sudden he says, but they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day, and he appeared to those chosen to be witnesses. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. They crucified him. One of the commentators says that they crucified the supreme doer of good. The cross is the place for criminals, the worst possible criminals. It's very public. And the Old Testament in Deuteronomy speaks of the cross or of being hung on a tree as being cursed by God. And yet here, Peter is coming to the very heart of the gospel for Jew and for Gentiles. We know that Jesus, who bore our sin in his own body on the tree, who bore our sins on the cross. And it's at the cross that we see the enormous enmity against God exposed by this cross. That our sin and rebellion and evil that lies in the human heart is that same sin, rebellion that lies in the heart, whether it be of Jew or whether it be of Gentile. And at the foot of the cross, whether Jew or Gentile, we are on the same level ground. But Peter goes on to remind, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And our Lord Jesus Christ is appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. And the prophets have borne witness to this, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Peter's now beginning to see that all along God was speaking through the prophets, declaring that through the Christ, forgiveness of sin is equally offered to all, be it Jew or Gentile. But what really pushed him over the edge as he's speaking to Cornelius? Well, we're told that as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit falls on those who heard the word, just as the Spirit fell on him and others on the day of Pentecost. And the falling has the concept of sudden and intense, halfway through a sentence, as it were. The Spirit comes and fills those with Cornelius and those of his household. And the Gentile conversion and salvation, he can see this is the divine work. This is God's hand. This is God's purpose. This is complete. This is authentic. This is authentic. There is one Saviour and one Lord. And as we look back over what's been happening over these 2 days with Peter and Cornelius, that God has pushed Peter through, as it were, the cultural baggages that he had to understand that we serve an impartial God who has sent a universal Lord and Saviour. At the end of chapter 9, the Christians were Jewish Christians. They were mainly in Judea, Galilee, Samaria. In chapter 10, it's clearly demonstrated that God has actually made Jesus Christ and Lord of all. we come to see as we work on further that it's explained that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We see that Jesus, the one who suffered, was rejected, killed and raised, that he himself is going to draw together a people for himself from every nation, tribe, people and tongue. And Peter and the early church is now coming to grips that they are called by God to be witnesses, not only in Judea, Galilee, Samaria, but God is now pushing them to the furthermost parts of the earth, for that witness is to be to all nations. You know, the church in Acts 10 are like most of us. Our understanding of the gospel and our natural culture, we have it all mixed together. And they had it all mixed together. And it was the Spirit of God that came and helped Peter define what was culture and what was the gospel, and pushed through that blockage that he could clearly demonstrate and preach the gospel of Christ. You know, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see what are our cultural barriers today. There are many people that we have in Sydney today who are outside the gospel. There is no witness. There is no testimony. Well, yes, we've got a church with a cross stuck on top of it, but it doesn't mean anything to anyone. They've never heard the word. They've never heard that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour. And often it can be our cultural blockages, the way I view other people, the way I view the world, that is blocking me from reaching out. As we look at priority number one, and Mr. President, I think we look today at priority one, I think our prayer needs to be that the Lord would indeed help us individually and help us to collectively as his people in this diocese to recognise those cultural things and other baggage that we have that blocking the spread of the gospel here in this place, and that the Spirit will take us and push us out as the Spirit took Peter and pushed him out.